Okay, so we're going to look at that passage from Matthew 25, but I'll pray before we do that. Lord God, as we come to your word today, I pray that you prepare us to hear well. Help us, Lord God, to put away the things that are distracting us. Help us, Lord, to listen intently to you. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak through me this morning and that by your Spirit you'll give us all ears to hear so that we might glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, there aren't many organisations where you pay for the privilege of serving. But church is one of them. Right? You pay for the privilege of serving. We want everything. Right? We want your money, your time, your energy, and we want you to give it all to Jesus. Right? That's our advertising slogan. How does that sound? It's a marketing slogan. Put that on the telly. Well, it doesn't have a lot of appeal, does it? But in that regard, we're following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said this: if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life because of me and the gospel will save it. If anything, he'd probably say we're going a bit soft, wouldn't he? We are all called to serve. We're all called to deny ourselves as followers of Jesus. And of course, we have some brilliant examples of that in our church, don't we? I'm not going to point them out or call them out by name. But as you look around, you'll see people where you go, oh yeah, that person or that person. Right? There are some great examples in our church. Why do they do it? I take it there are two reasons. One is conviction, and a second is humility. See, we all have 1,440 minutes in a day, and our convictions determine how we use those minutes. If we are busy, it just means we're using up lots of those minutes. But the people who devote themselves to the Lord prioritise the way they use those minutes, don't they? They think about those minutes and say, yes, I'm going to use this time in this way. I'm going to be intentional in using my time to bring glory to our Lord Jesus. But then the second thing, again, is humility. As Philippians 2 says, serving you requires me to consider you greater than me. It's only as I can consider you more important than me that I'm able to serve. And so today we're continuing our gospel series, thinking about gospel vision. Right? We've looked at what it means to be deep in God's word. We've looked at loving God. We've looked at being in community. We've looked at being on mission. And today we're finishing our little pentagon, as it were, by thinking about serving one another. And we're going to look at Matthew 25 and consider our service. And so Matthew 25 is set in a scene of confrontation. The religious and secular leaders of Israel, they've tried to trap Jesus. In chapter 22, they try and trap him in a series of stashes. In chapter 23, he denounces them. He accuses them of being blind guides. Then he turns and speaks privately to his disciples in chapter 24. And he urges them to be ready. And from verse 31, he tells his disciples and he tells us how to be ready for eternal life. So when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him. One day, you and I will stand before our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? There will come a day when every single one of us will stand before him. We will be raised from death and presented before him. And then he will separate them, one from another, just as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. Now, you may not appreciate being called a sheep, but clearly, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ and you are called a sheep, you're also called blessed by the Father. And you're also told that you will inherit the kingdom prepared since the foundation of the world. But there are two tensions I want you to notice in this passage. First of all, the nature of our salvation. The sheep are told that they will inherit the kingdom prepared for them from the foundation of the world. And they're told that they will inherit it because of their service to Jesus. Right? There's going to be two ideas here. The kingdom was prepared for them long before they did anything for Jesus, but given to them because of the things they do for Jesus. I hope you see the tension in it. We're going to park that idea for a moment. We're going to come back to it. The second tension, though, is that they didn't do any of those things. From verse 37. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or without clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Once again, we see this depth of union between Jesus and his people. We talked about this in community. There is such a strong union between us and Christ. And he describes his people as righteous as well. But truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Now, forgive me if I pick on you randomly now. But the gospel then tells me that when we serve Mark, we serve Jesus. Right? When we serve Bill, we serve Jesus. When we serve John, we serve Jesus. So strong is that identification of Jesus with his people that when we serve one another, we're actually serving our Lord. So when you drop food around for a brother or sister, you are doing that for our Lord Jesus Christ. When you put a brother or sister up in a room because the house gets flooded or whatever happens, right? You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. When you clothe a brother or sister, when you give your old school uniforms, if they're up to a standard you can give away, to a brother or sister, right? You're clothing the Lord Jesus Christ. When you visit or care for a brother or sister, you are visiting or caring for the Lord Jesus Christ. So strong is his union with us. But the gospel doesn't stop there. The gospel also forces us to face a hard reality. The reality that not all humanity is described as righteous. That not all humanity will receive this kingdom. So then he'll also say to those on the left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you didn't take me in. I was naked and you didn't clothe me, sick and in prison and you didn't take care of me. Now these people are called goats. And now I need to look at the teenagers. Not the greatest of all time variety, okay? Not that kind of goat. These are called goats and they will inherit the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. See, the devil is not the ruler of hell. Sometimes we kind of get that idea, don't we? But he's not the ruler of hell. He's just the most notorious of those who will be judged there, who will be thrown into that fire. And why will they depart into this eternal fire? Because they neglected Jesus. But just like the sheep, there's a tension. Because they too will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or without clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And then he will answer them, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. the failure to love Jesus' people is catastrophic. And this is exactly what he accused the leaders of back in chapter 23. In many respects, I think chapter 25 is really directed to the leaders in chapter 23. But the end result is clear. They will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So all humanity is faced with two futures, eternal life or eternal punishment. And what is the basis for that? Well, now we come back to that idea that we parked earlier. Earlier on, we saw that the sheep, the righteous, the ones who provided for their brothers or sisters in Christ, would inherit the eternal kingdom prepared for them. This kingdom is not solely based on your deeds. It was prepared for you from the foundation of the world long before you'd done anything good or bad. But clearly, our works really matter. The things we do really matter. The goats are sent into eternal punishment because of their failure to do good works. The sheep are given eternal life because of their good works. And the reason for this is that there is a necessary link between faith and our service. Faith and good works. A necessary link. Sometimes we get this perceived tension between Ephesians 2 and James 2, which is why I've got them both up on the screen. As though Ephesians teaches we are saved by grace through faith, full stop, or James teaches that that your faith without deeds is dead. Right? And so they're two separate categories. One's promoting faith, one's promoting works. But that is not true. Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared in advance, ahead of time for us to do. And James, just as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead. So our service matters. We are saved by grace for sure, but we're saved to do good works. We're saved for service. Our works are evidence of our salvation. They are evidence of the Spirit of God at work within us. So why should we serve? Oops, sorry. Should have been on that passage, sorry. Why should we serve? Friends, time is busy. Life is short. I've got other priorities, right? In fact, all of us in this room have got a whole bunch of priorities we'd love to spend more time on. Right? Every single one of us. And although there is no command in this passage, it is very clear that our service really matters. And so I note there is also a priority in this passage to serve our brothers and sisters in Christ. As we serve our brothers and sisters in Christ, we serve Christ. And so I find it helpful to think of this in terms of circles of care. And your circle may look different to my circle, that's okay. But I find this helpful. I think this is roughly the normal pattern. So my first priority is to serve my immediate family. So 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 8 warns that if anyone does not provide for his own family, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So I want to take that seriously. I want to make sure I care for my family. But then I want to serve you, my local church, the people that God has given me in this time and place. Then thirdly, I want to serve the global church. My brothers and sisters scattered throughout the world. But then lastly, I also want to serve the people of this world. All of these are good, right? We'd love to do more of all of these things, I hope. But we can't do them all. So the gospel prioritises me to provide for my family, and particularly for my brothers and sisters in Christ. But like everything else, even this can be reshaped into something ugly by sin. Right? I could easily turn one of these things into an idol, and I think in Australia, family is the obvious one. We can so very easily say, no, I'm going to devote so much time and energy and money and everything I've got into my family that actually I never move into the other circles. And what is a good thing becomes an idol. We move something from being good to being God. But of course, that may not be your issue. You may just go, Jim, actually, I don't want to surf. I just don't want to. I'm too busy. I'm too tired. I just don't care. You may not say it that bluntly, but maybe that's how you're feeling. Why should I surf? And the answer to this is, of course, an imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love as he loved us. We serve as he served us. We show grace to one another as he showed grace to us. We forgive one another as he forgave us. We are humble before each other as he was humble before us. He's our model for service. And just consider the way that the Lord Jesus Christ humbled himself to serve you. Just consider for a moment the enormity that the one through whom the universe is created humbled himself to serve you. It's extraordinary. He might have quite reasonably come to earth and demanded you serve him. And that would have been entirely appropriate. And yet, he came to serve you, to give himself as a ransom for you. So how do we serve? How should we serve? Friends, I want to say there are a thousand ways you can serve one another, aren't there? A thousand ways that don't involve a single service roster at church. Right, you can, and I encourage you to do it. Right, you can visit one another, provide meals, help people move house, do some cleaning, some gardening, read with someone, babysit, provide furniture, pay bills, fill cars with petrol, read the Bible with someone, pray for each other. There are endless options, and I encourage you to do them. But that service must always be glad, sacrificial sacrifice. And I think this is critical. Please do not serve people in a way that makes you bitter. Please do not serve people in a way that makes you feel like I'm being used right now. If you feel like you are being used, if you feel like you're becoming bitter, then please do not serve. I'm happy for you to withdraw from all serving in church if that's how you feel. I don't want you to become bitter. Instead, I'd love you to go back and reflect on the way Christ has served us. Well, let me finish up here by talking about some of the ways we serve at church. A few years ago, one of my leaders, not in a nasty way, but just complained they weren't receiving the support that they needed to do their role. And they were right about that. One of my growth group leaders has mentioned on a number of times it'd be really helpful to have someone come to their growth group. To sit in and observe and give feedback on that. And they're also right. During the week, I had some feedback from someone who suggested some ways that we could do our pastoral care system better. And it was a great suggestion. And yet I just looked at it and was overwhelmed by it, thinking about something else that I needed to put in place. And they were right. You guys have been right quite a lot, okay? At present, these are some of the ministries and events that take place across our church. Right? Just some of them. I didn't want to get smaller font or cram them in, so they're just some of them. And by the way, that's also pretty close to our current organisational structure. Okay, so they're kind of all out there independent of one another. Most of our ministries operate fairly independently, and for most of these ministries, I'm actually the bottleneck. Almost everything at some point comes back to me. And right now, every single one of these groups would benefit from better care, support and coaching. All of our leaders would benefit from better care, support and coaching. A good ministry structure would ensure that all of these leaders are cared for. And one of the clear recommendations from, we had a Reach Australia consult earlier this year, one of the recommendations that came from that report was that we needed to change our structure. This structure works fine for a church with half a dozen ministries and less than 100 people, but it doesn't work so well for us. And so first of all, let me say, I want to thank all my ministry leaders. I want to thank the leaders who are doing such great ministry with such little support. And just acknowledge that, actually, you do deserve better support. Just want to acknowledge that and thank you for that. And also, I thank God for the growth he's given us through your work. Right, those of you who are doing ministry, you're at the pointy end. Right? God is blessing your work here, and I thank him for that. Then secondly, of course, yes, I want to apologise to those leaders who either have felt unsupported in the past or still feel unsupported. Much of that is on me, and I'm very keen to turn that around. So how do we do it? So I come to you today hoping to raise up more leaders. But this time, I'm not after leaders to run another ministry. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a dozen possible ministries going through my head right now that we could start up. I'd love to start up. But I'm not after leaders to do that. I'm after leaders to support leaders. Leaders who can coach, support, encourage, equip. If I invest into one leader who then supports four leaders, then I am multiplying ministry and I'm multiplying care. And the kind of leaders I'm looking for are people who can humbly serve our team leaders. People who are happy to sit in the back seat and encourage and support and coach someone else to do the frontline ministry so that we can multiply leaders. And so I've been wrestling through this over the last 4 months, and I've broken down our ministries into kind of 7 key areas. I've then broken them down further, but I thought I'm not going to overwhelm you with that. But I've broken down our ministries, and my hope is to raise up people that are not here to just do all the ministry, but keen to support those who do. I want to raise up people who grow disciples through other people. And if that sounds like you, please come and see me. I'd love to talk to you about that. But I'm also keen to raise up leaders who are role models in their own faith and service. So for that reason, I still want people to do our members and partners course. If you're not serving at the moment and you want to serve, I'll need you to do that. If you are already serving, don't worry about it. That's fine. But you're welcome to come along. The next course starts on it's on 2 Sundays from the 30th of March and the 6th of April. But friends, I actually think this is good news for you. I'll tell you why I think this is good news for you. I feel like for the last decade or so, the real ministry options have been serving on Sunday or serving in kids ministry. And what this does is it opens up a whole range of other options. If you are passionate about conversions, you want to see the lost saved, there is space for you. If you are passionate about building our community into a community of greater depth of love, there is space for you. If you're passionate about seeing people grow to maturity in Christ, there is space for you. And this means that for those of you with the coaching skills that we can train you in as well, and the humility to serve others, there are ways to serve that have just not been a possibility before. There is now a space for you. Now, as an aside, one of the first teams I'd really love to recruit is a serve team. And this is the team of people that talk to all our members and just ask the basic questions. How are you going? How are you serving at the moment? Is it too much? Is it too little? Do you want to do something different? Where would you like to serve? And just help people find their place. So if that's something that really appeals to you, come and talk to me as well. But at the end of the day, however we serve because Jesus served us first. That's why we serve. We serve because our service demonstrates our faith. It is a necessary link between our faith and our actions. So whether you serve someone in a way that's invisible that never appears on a church roster, whether you serve up front, whether you serve by coaching and supporting others, you were made to serve as the Lord served you. So I'm going to pray for us now that we would indeed serve him. Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you for your grace and your mercy to us. We praise you, Lord, for the way that you saved us, the way that you served us, the way that you humbled yourself before us. Lord God, convict us as well of the privilege it is to serve one another. Grant us the humility to serve. And grant, Lord, that you would multiply disciples through people serving one another in love. And grant that through this, Lord, you would bless and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.